Cruz.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. Tangible Investments is the main title sponsor of my show. Many of my fans and listeners tell me they buy gold and collectible coins from a local dealer in their city because they don't know where else to go, or from telemarketers they see on TV because these companies spend millions to advertise. Sadly, the majority of companies that consumers reach out to rely on commissioned salespersons who have limited experience, limited expertise, and no credentials whatsoever. Tangible Investments has been around for 35 years. They build long-term relationships, not one-time sales. They work on the lowest spreads anywhere in the industry, so you always get the best price. Most importantly, the listeners of War Now are guaranteed to deal directly with Mike Bonham, VP of Tangible, and a staff of senior executives with a combined 200 years of experience in precious metals. Get the best prices, the lowest spread, deal with the most credible, experienced experts in the industry, and right now start your Tangible relationship off right with a free American Silver Eagle. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000. Or visit TII1.com.
Reportedly angered that only 10 or fewer members of the Philadelphia Eagles were planning to show up for the White House Super Bowl celebration, President Trump disinvited the team and held a patriotic event instead.
We proudly stand for our glorious nation under God.
Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney.
I wasn't shocked that he did that, but I was also kind of happy he did it because I didn't want this team to be disunited over this issue.
A government contractor was arrested at a White House checkpoint. The Secret Service says it was alerted on Monday that Martez Edwards was a fugitive and wanted on a warrant for attempted murder out of Prince George's County, Maryland. According to the police report, at around noon, Edwards approached the Northwest visitor entrance at the White House. After he showed his Maryland driver's license, he was then arrested by the Secret Service. This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
NASA is gearing up for a big press release, teasing what it says will be a major announcement about something that was recently found on the Red Planet. With more on the story, here's USA Radio's Chris Barnes.
NASA says it will make an announcement on Thursday about something discovered by the Mars Curiosity rover. That vehicle's been roaming the Red Planet since 2012. The space agency says the announcement will involve what it calls new science results. However, it has said nothing else, and it says the details will be released at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Operation Roundup continues targeting the Islamic State in both Syria and Iraq by the Combined Joint Task Force. Here's more from John Clemens.
Army Colonel Thomas Vail of Operation Inherent Resolve described the 304% increase in strikes over what was carried out last month as a pounding of ISIS.
We and our partners have pounded ISIS remnants from the ground and air in relentless pursuit of their leaders and fighters. ISIS morale is low and leaders are scurrying for their lives.
Army Colonel Thomas Vail said members of ISIS are trying to escape the pounding.
Quite a bit of ISIS traffic is now flowing west toward Syrian regime-held territory.
Colonel Vail was speaking from Baghdad to reporters at the Pentagon. I'm John Clemens.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselors Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolecounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselors Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselors Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith of Happy to Help. I'm going to do a quick weather update. Today, mostly cloudy, high of 71, dropping down to 52 tonight. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and high of 76. Friday gets a little warmer, 82 and mostly sunny, and then chance of thunderstorms over the weekend, and the temperatures get a little cooler.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help, a show about volunteerism and helping others and donating. And we talk to different folks who are doing good things in their local community, in the world, to help others, because I believe we thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. And I think it's in our DNA to help one another. And I hear over and over again, and I've experienced this, that whatever you give to others, you get back in spades. So today I'm so excited to welcome Robert Field, and he is a comedian, and he is the founder of Ha Ha for Humanity. And I'm so excited to learn about everything you do. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here, Nicole.
Great. Well, can you tell us how you got into comedy and a little bit about your background, and then how you got the idea to start Ha Ha for Humanity?
Well, it started, I was performing in stand-up comedy, and I do have two children. They're 12 and 8, two 12 and 8-year-old boys. And a couple years ago, unfortunately, one of my friends passed away. Mm. He was 44 years old.
Young.
And he left a 3.5-year-old girl. And, you know, it's tough having two parents. Can you only imagine losing one of your parents and needing to be able to raise your child?
Yeah.
And at that point in time, I was like, well, I want to raise money to be able to help and contribute in whatever way I possibly could. So we decided that we were going to do a show. And we performed on the show, and all of our friends got together, and we raised $1,500
wow.
to donate to her college fund so
Perfect.
She would be able to move forward.
Wow.
And at that point in time, I realized that comedy, while I know laughter heals, and I know everyone loves, I mean, who doesn't really love to
right.
laugh, and it definitely feels good, but to be able to do that as well as give back, to provide some sort of benefit, is the reason why Ha Ha for Humanity got started, because I really wanted to. I love making people laugh, and I love sharing and giving as much as we possibly can in our world today. And I just thought it was a perfect combination to be able to do that.
It absolutely is. So, how long have you been a comedian?
Been a comedian, I'm going to say 6.5-7 years.
Okay.
I became a comedian because someone dared me to go on stage. The older that we get, probably the more jaded or the more. Honest I became with some of my friends. And the more honest I became with some of my friends, the more they were like, oh, you think you're so funny. Have you ever performed on a stage at a New York City comedy club?
Mm.
And I've always been someone who said, like, look, if it's not going to kill me and it's not going to be a great risk, why not? And I accepted the challenge to go on stage.
Wow.
And after accepting that challenge, I went on stage, and it was the most unbelievable, exhilarating, non-narcotic high that I could ever have in my life. Like, literally, I couldn't stop smiling. It was like one of the happier moments that I ever had, just going on stage and performing for people. And so I decided to continue. Now, the funny thing about that is that was 2 months before I got separated. So I didn't start doing comedy. When I started doing comedy, I didn't get separated because I was doing comedy, all a host of other reasons.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because it really just transformed my comedy. It transformed my humor. Then all of a sudden, my humor started becoming about what it's like to date in the world, what it's like to even go through a separation and a divorce, what it's like to raise your kids as a single dad.
Yeah.
Not to say that she's not involved, but like when I'm with my kids, it's only myself and my kids.
Yeah.
And what it's like to be able to do that and manage it. And it really actually made the divorce and separation easier. The more that I would laugh about it, the more that I just enjoyed the realities of life and just kept on going, the better everything, you know, it all became much better. And we're quite amicable today.
That's good.
You know, so it's not, certainly not the end of the world. But
well, it was your catharsis or it was your outlet for going through everything was turning it into material, right?
Right. And it's interesting because a lot of people that, I mean, this was a lot of years ago, a lot of people that I meet and they're like, oh, so instead of just running around town dating every woman you possibly can in the first year after divorce, you decided to do comedy. And I said, yes. And I felt that was a much healthier outlet. You know, 6 years later, maybe people might not think it's the most healthy outlet. But, you know, for me, when it started, it was just a great way to really just get everything and all together. And a lot of comics really feel that comedy is therapy.
Right? Absolutely.
You go on stage and you speak about your life and you get all that stuff out. And it's a very therapeutic way of being able to do things as well.
Yeah, like you have like a million counselors in your audience, right? You're like,
Well, I don't know if I want them to be counselors, but you know, just having someone who's able to talk to,
someone to listen,
who's listening.
Yeah, right? No, that's great. Well, good for you. Well, my parents got divorced when I was really young, but they kept it completely amicable, and I think you know you got to do that for the kids because that's why I feel like it really. It, you know, I still had my mom and my dad, and they just weren't getting along, but it was fine, you know? So if you can do that, I know it's hard, I mean, because emotions run high, and so I think that's... And my dad did, like, run out and start dating everyone, which was fun. Like, but, you know, it all worked out. So, I think that's amazing. So, so had you had an inkling to do comedy before, or was just this is your challenge, and you just rose to the challenge?
Pretty much I just rose to the challenge.
Wow.
I rose to the challenge, and I loved it. I mean... I run into a lot of people today, and a lot of my friends are funny, and their continuous comments are, I'm funny, but I don't think I can get on stage and do this. And the reality is, I mean, look, stand-up comedy is work. I do believe that if you have a funny gene, you can do stand-up comedy. But it is work. It's not just like a one-on-one dinner conversation where you're just kind of spitting things out that are funny. But I just rose to the challenge. It was just like I was the guy who was always making jokes, and then I went on stage, and I was like, wow, this is great. I want to do this. And so I've decided that I wanted to put in the work to become a better comic.
Wow, you got addicted.
Yeah, I did. I do look at the tapes that I first did a long time ago, and I'm like, oh, my God, I was so bad. I mean, everyone is so kind when you're going up there for the first time. But it was just one of those things where you just can't give it up. And even I would say probably about – maybe 2.5 years ago, I decided I needed to take a break.
Okay.
I couldn't live the lifestyle and do what I was doing, and I needed to take a break. And my friends make fun of it today. I announced my retirement, and everyone was like, oh. And about 2.5-3 months later, I was back performing on stage.
Okay.
And after doing that, I'm like, it was ridiculous. Like, I have to be on stage now. I always find every opportunity to do that.
That's great.
Even tonight, I'm hosting my son's elementary school talent show.
Nice.
And they've never had a parent want to do that.
That'll be fun.
It will be fun. I just wrote to the school. I said, would you like me to host? What teacher wants to host those shows?
Yeah.
Probably none of them. I'm willing to do it. They're like, go right ahead. So it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, and they love parent engagement, right? Can't say no to that, right?
No.
Have you there. Yeah.
Parents are going to be there.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. I'm going to be able to make fun of them. I can make fun of their kids. I can bring it, you know, it's a great time.
Yeah, well, I have you to thank. I have this Saltine Crackers song in my head after watching your video yesterday because you were with a bunch of kids.
Oh, the Saltine Crackers.
I'm like, what? Yeah, so that was really cute. So you did some kind of... group session with kids yesterday or performing something like that.
So as you promote yourself in comedy, you need to be able to do whatever you possibly can to earn as whatever living you can possibly do. And I began teaching kids how to do comedy. I have two kids. I'll say my youngest one is the comic of the family.
Okay.
Like, that apple didn't fall far from the tree. My oldest writes good jokes, but sometimes doesn't like getting on stage. But I started teaching kids how to do comedy.
Really?
And so I have six-week and 10-week workshops. And they come in for an hour, and sometimes I bring in guest comics to teach them because I'm still a parent, so I know how great it is for kids to have another person there.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. So I teach these comics. And, yeah, it was like sometimes you get really goofy, and the kids get goofy. It's just what happens. And they were jumping around singing saltine crackers.
I loved it. It was great.
But the great benefits of teaching kids how to do comedy and – listen, parents, we're parents. Mm-hmm. We complain on the iPhone, on the PS4, on the electronics, on the Switch, on this, on that. They're never communicating. They're never making eye contact. They're, you know, it's a real problem in society today in raising our kids that they're so involved with their technology.
Mm-hmm.
If you teach them how to do comedy, not only are you teaching them how to get on stage and write a joke, but they're making eye contact with people. They're communicating. They're learning how to read a room and have conversations and associate with society the way we really want you to deal with society, like with face-to-face contact. And so there's a lot of social benefits in teaching children how to do this, even if they're not going to be a stand-up comic, to get used to standing on stage, overcoming anxieties. I also teach about what it means to be a heckler. So you're a supportive class. If you take my class, you are supporting every comic on stage. You're not going to scream out and interrupt and basically, quote, unquote, bully, right?
Yeah.
I call heckling bullying, and they understand it. And so they learn how to respect each other, and they learn how to behave appropriately, all in the sense of we're going to make fun of people. Right?
I know. Well, but that's the thing. You know, everything's become so politically correct. You can't say this and you can't do that and the hurt feelings. And I know, you know, there's all kinds of stuff out there with the bullying on one end and the politically correct on the other end. But you got to be able to laugh at yourself, right? You got to be able to poke fun and not get too out of control or upset.
Right.
So that's incredible. So that sounds so fun. And I mean, I know there's been different – some of my kids' friends have gone to comic camps in the summer, but I think that – and we need more laughter in the world, right?
Yeah, we do. Listen, we really, I believe laughter heals. We did a show last night for the Irish American Association of Northwest Jersey. So I do monthly shows at Thatcher McGee's. It's in Fairfield, right? And I'll do other shows as well if you want to host in your location. But we just do it for charity.
Yeah.
And if you saw, I mean, I know they were all Irish, but if you saw, saw all the red faces in the crowd from laughing so hard and the joy that was out there, it was fantastic. You know, so that's part of the reasons why I do it is because we do need laughter. We do need to heal. We are in I hate to say it, we seem to be in a very angry time in our world. Yeah. And the more that we can laugh about things that are out there and not take them as serious as we do, really the better off that we're all going to be.
Yeah. I'm actually leaving for Dublin on Friday.
You are?
Yes. I've never been to Ireland. I was born on St. Patrick's Day. And I've never been to Ireland, and I'm Irish, and so I'm excited. I'm meeting my daughter over there, and our Irish priest, Father Kelly, is going to be there too. So we're going to have a grand old time in Dublin drinking Guinness and hanging out. So I'm excited. So we'll see.
Awesome.
But yeah. But and the reason, the way I found out about your organization was I had Dress for Success on here, and they were having a comedy show with you. And so I latched onto that and was like, oh my gosh, you have to come on the show. So, okay, we talked a little bit about, we're going to have to take a break here soon, but actually we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back because this is so fun.
Okay.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning. We're back with Robert Field of Ha Ha for Humanity, and we're talking about his entry into comedy about 7 years ago, and more recently, his idea to bring comedy and humor to help others, and they've done quite a few events. And what I want to ask is, you said you got addicted to comedy, you loved the laughter and what it brought. So have you ever bombed on stage? Like, if you
of course. Who doesn't bomb on stage?
I don't know. So tell us, what was that like? Did that deter your interest, or you're like, I'm going to just do it anyway?
So I mentioned how I went into retirement. I would have to say that the bombing on stage probably pushed me into retirement a little bit. Okay. I performed one time in front of 300 people.
Wow, 300 people. That's a good crowd.
Yeah, it was a great crowd. I had my set. It was a really good set. I've performed it before. And it's great when you lay down a joke and 300 people laugh. But when you lay down a joke that you think it's going to work and nobody laughs, you're like, oh, my God, what just happened? It's like literally the blood rushes like from your head all the way down, and you turn like pale white, and you're like, what's going to happen? I survived that. I know the mistake that I made as far as a comic mistake, just to let you know. It was a joke that I was talking about teaching my kids how to curse. Right?
And, hey, I excel at that.
Right? We all excel at that. And it's a fun joke, and I'm a clean comic. And there was a kid in the crowd, probably like a 14-year-old kid. And I pointed him out, and I basically talked to him about it. And after I said the joke, everybody in the audience looked at him and whether he was going to laugh or not. So if he laughs, everyone's going to laugh. If he doesn't laugh, nobody laughs. And literally, he didn't get it. He didn't think it was really funny. Nobody laughed. I know the mistake that I made. But yes, I've bombed, and pretty much you move on and you live with it, and you learn how to understand different audiences. Every audience, you know, I talked about putting kids on stage and reading a crowd.
Yeah.
When you're on stage, you need to read the crowd, and you need to know what they're going to like and what they're not going to like. And a joke that you might put down, one audience is going to like and another audience is not. And if you happen to do a joke that this audience doesn't like, it's okay. You just have to know how to find what they're looking for. And so the more years you do comedy, the better you become at understanding that and being able to work the room and just know what they're looking to be able to see.
Right. Well, can you really teach that? Because, I mean, I think you've got a natural affinity for it, right? And you're an adult and all that. But, I mean, isn't it some kind of a vibe or something that some people kind of have it more than others, would you say, or no?
As far as the comic trade is concerned, some people do have it more than others. Okay. Like, I'm a clean comic. I talk about my kids. I talk about my life. I produce the shows. I like everything that I do. Mm-hmm. Some of the comics that I've met are extremely talented. I can't do impersonations. You do impersonations. Mm-hmm. You're able to do that. You're able to have other things that are able to bring in the crowd.
Okay.
And so there are some that I see that are just that innate
comic talent mm-hmm. and to be able to do all that. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, it's just work.
Yeah, working at it.
It's in anything that you do, it takes work. So, you know, there's that whole theory, you know, 10,000 hours makes you a master. Well, you have to do 10,000 hours worth of comedy to become a master. And that's the reason why when you see comics that are 2 years experience versus a comic that's 15 years of experience, even if you like the one that's 2 years, you can clearly tell the one that's been doing this for 15 years is more fluent on stage, knows how to work the audience, knows and feels – they just feel more comfortable. They look more comfortable because they are. And it really just takes a lot of work and a lot of experience to be able to go through it.
Right, and then some of them probably hit burnout at some point, right? You can tell when they're like, okay, you know, I'm just like, I'm done, or, you know, I mean, but they're still working because they've got a name, or, I mean, who knows? There's all kinds of stuff. But no, you're right. I mean, I think that's what's missing is people don't realize that, you know, everything's work. If you want to be good at something, you got to work at it. You can't just have it handed to you on instant media, right?
Right, exactly.
Everything's not instant.
I mean, everything could, you could, again, you could be funny.
Yeah.
You could be funny at a dinner party. But being funny on stage and being funny at a dinner party are two totally different things, because at a dinner party, you know everybody who's there.
Right.
And
right.
you know the inside joke.
There's no risk. Yeah.
There's no risk. Yeah. What are you going to lose? Right. But when you're on stage, you don't know anyone.
Right.
And so then you have to be able to figure out, you know, where they're going to laugh.
Right. So do you have some summer camps for kids that where people can find you? And it's HAHA, the number four, humanity.
It's HAHA for humanity.
.org, right?
I have joined up with a few summer camps. We don't have anything. If you want to sign up, just send me an email. Not only is my site HAHA for humanity, and I have HAHAforHumanity.com, and I'm on Facebook, but my email address is HAHAforHumanity@gmail.com. If you're interested in joining the camps, having your kids be a part of it, just reach out to me. If you have, I'll be more than happy to. If you run a camp and you would like me to teach it for a week, because you know it's been a rainy spring, it might be a rainy summer, and you may want the kids to be inside for a little bit, we'll be more than happy to come down and teach them comedy. And again, I said I had 6 week and 10-week courses, but you can combine that into 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
I've also done 30 to 40 minute speeches on just becoming a comedian.
That's great.
And even doing that and having a conversation, it's sort of like seeing a comic do a 45 minute set.
And
kids love it. Kids love it. I went to a school. It was the Sage Day School. And it's a school for kids with social anxieties. Some are autistic. Okay. They, you know, not kids that are harmful to other people, but could be harmful. To, you know, just need to work with them. And I did a Becoming the Comedian seminar for them, and every single one of them was engaged.
Nice.
And they were all watching, and they all like. There was a child there that was autistic. And he was able to ask me 3 to 4 clear, concise questions, did not go on and on and on, just asked a question, gave him an answer, moved on, asked another, and made eye contact and was communicating. And when I left, one of the counselors came up to me and they're like, that was amazing. I just can't believe that they spoke as much as they did. They've never seen that type of reaction.
Aww.
And it just, again, it just brings more credibility to what comedy and being funny can bring to any audience. If comedy has the ability to have someone who has problems communicating and engages them enough that they're able to communicate and pay attention for a half hour to 45 minutes, that's a win. And that's something you want to be able to build on. And I really believe that there is something to bringing humor and making people feel comfortable.
Amen. Amen to that. That's great. Well, so so you've been doing the comedy, and then you said you lost your friend, and so you decided to do this for her, and then did a light bulb go off, or someone said, hey, I want you to come do this for my group, or how did that whole thing evolve?
So that happened, and in any new business, like, you have that great idea, and then where are you going to push forward? And I didn't know what to push forward to. I did have a day job. So I actually worked as a wealth advisor for an unmentioned, I won't mention it now.
Okay,
but,
that's fine.
But I have all my licenses. I could be a financial advisor. I can manage money.
That's ripe for material as well, right? Money. Oh my gosh,
exactly.
You could go off. Right?
People with money.
And then I unfortunately got laid off.
Okay.
And when I got laid off, I was like, yeah, I'm 49 years old. And at some point in time in your life, you have to do something that you want to do. No one says I don't want to be a wealth advisor. Again, I almost took it as a teaching and training thing. I have no problems in doing it and talking to people about their finances mm-hmm. and having them understand what asset allocation is and what they should do with their 401k. And, I mean, I did do corporate training, and I do have the ability to have conversations about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to necessarily do that for my whole entire life. I wanted to make a difference. And I considered, you know, financial advising as I was making people with a lot of money more money.
Mm.
And when I got laid off, I said, what about raising money for people who don't have the money?
Like, and need it desperately.
Need the money. Like, no problems in getting paid. Obviously, we all need jobs and need to pay the bills and do what we need to do. Mm. But we're all missing a charitable aspect in our world today. Mm-hmm. We're all missing an opportunity to be able to give back. And I just felt that this was a great opportunity for me to be able to take some time, reengage in my business, and do something that I really wanted to do.
Right. You need to tap into some of those old clients as donors.
That's
I know. Well, no.
Yes.
Well,
if I could afford it, maybe I could get like someone who can market me and, you know, and do all that stuff.
You need to get some summer interns. I mean, there's a lot of college kids that need stuff to do. And it's a volunteer aspect. So that's what I tell people all the time. Get kids volunteering. They can volunteer for an org or a nonprofit or anything where you're learning a skill set. You're using something you already know. Like, they're social media savvy that, I mean, you should just, you know, start your contacts out. I'll post it on this page to get an intern to help you because, you know, they've got
time. I'm sure they'll be more than happy to rework my website. Like, I go to – if you go to my website is okay. It's okay.
Yeah. But well, it gets the point across.
It gets the point across. But it'll probably be redone and reworked, so it's, you know.
Okay. So any young web designers out there that can help Robert, you go to hahafumanity.org and see what you can change. Okay. Well, I also think, though, too, because you don't – if you're a charity, you know, people, I mean, there's a fine line, but you don't want the charity being having the slickest, most expensive website out there. Like, well, you know, I mean, again, it's a fine line because you want to be effective and you want to draw people in and grow your business, but you also want to be careful with your funds and transparent and all that stuff. So, but you all, I didn't know you had the financial.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like, you know, we all have lives, right?
No, I know. But, but you could totally market that because there's so many millennials and young kids who have no clue about finance at all. So you could make it fun for them because, you know, it's dry and boring for most people. That's why they ignore it and they just end up in trouble. But if you made it funny,
And I make everything funny. believe me.
Well,
some people don't like it when I make it funny about their money, but the reality is I just make everything funny.
You gotta.
You know that wedding that they're going to have to pay for that all of a sudden you think it's going to be $40,000 and it's $140,000. We could certainly make that funny.
No, I know. And then they're divorced in 2 years.
And then they're divorced and you're like, where'd my money go?
I know, right? Well, I happened to catch on TV they had a bridezilla. Where are they now? That was funny. But anyway, okay, so can you tell me, you've had a bunch of different, you've had the Rachel Coalition Benefits show, Dress for Success, Share the Vision. So what are the shows that you've done that kind of just, that you recall that were really fun or really memorable or, you know, that you've done for people?
So in any business, everything just, you know, it grows, right? Mm-hmm. It just grows. So when I first started, I started the shows doing them in November, and I did a national, I donated money for hurricane victims and UNICEF. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just building it up. The second show was for Toys for Tots.
Mm-hmm.
And Toys for Tots was a great show, not just because it was a great show, but I had people didn't have to pay for tickets. They can bring toys.
Right. Oh, that's great. Right?
So they brought toys, and the next day I went to the center to drop off the toys with my kids.
Mm.
And my kids are bringing in the toys, and they said, why are we giving away these toys?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, we're donating them for kids who can't have toys.
Mm-hmm.
And my children really didn't understand that. They're like, I don't – what do you – my 12-year-old did, but my 8-year-old was like, I don't understand. What do you mean kids don't have toys for Christmas right. and Hanukkah? And I'm like, no, there are actually some people who can't afford that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, my God. And it made – like a light bulb went off, and he's like, oh, I want to give this. So as far as successful shows, when it comes to parenting, the Toys for Tots show was something I said, I have to continue doing this because – it is making a profound effect on my children mm-hmm. and how I want to be able to raise them. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. they're now understanding why I do what I do. And they understand the meaning of charity. And they understand the fact that that is what's going to help the world. Mm-hmm. As far as the greatest show of the eight, well, last night was a fantastic. I will honestly say the last three shows that we've had at Thatcher's. And for anyone who's building a business out there who wants to do this, it is a slow, gradual process to be able to get your name out there. But mm-hmm. once you get your name out there that you're doing it, it just grows and grows and grows. And the last three shows, literally, we've had packed houses.
Nice.
The shows have been awesome. Now, when I say packed, 65, 70 people in a room on a Tuesday night, in a, right?
Yeah.
Which is mostly to parents, and they're coming out and they're supporting the charity. And for us to perform in front of 65, 70 people, 3 months in a row, great charities, great comics. We've actually started to do 50-50s now.
Nice.
I mean, might as well raise
might
as much
well.
Money.
Oh, yeah,
you got the
yeah.
people there. You might as well raise as much money as you possibly can for the charities. And they've been outstanding. So the last three was Dress for Success, the Rachel Coalition, not Dress for Success, Share the Vision, and last night was the Irish American Association.
Nice.
What got me into – so that if I, the first two charities were large charities, national organizations. Mm-hmm. In January is when I finally realized what I needed to do because I did a show for the West Essex Police Benevolent Association. And it was a local charity, and we got a lot of response locally. So everyone wants to donate to a big charity, right? But – everyone is definitely going to support their local charities. Mm-hmm. They want, you know, local is important.
Yeah.
And so that was the first show. I'm like, oh my God, I just want to stay local. So then the next show was for the West Essex First Aid Squad. And, okay. it made it bigger. Mm-hmm. And the show after that was the Rachel Coalition. Now, Rachel Coalition is big, but I found a local person mm-hmm. in a local area. Like Dress for Success was the local Dress for
right,
Success.
Right.
Like, keep it within your area. People want to give back to mm-hmm. Others that they know. Right. So
right.
Right, you have a charity that you want, you're part of. Your friends are going to come to the charity you're part of mm-hmm. instead of some charity because it's a donating effort. Right. So
yeah.
That's really how it all formulated mm-hmm. to where we are today is working with a lot of smaller local charities that have good constituents that want to come out.
Yeah, you're building community.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I think philanthropy is personal because the last 8 years I've been focused on Room to Read, which provides education in Asia and Africa. So it's not local at all. It's across
right.
the world. But I think, like I said, I think philanthropy is very personal. And I do local as well. I do local, global. I love doing it because I get it. Volunteering's great and I can do it. But I think, you know, yeah, but I agree that people, they don't want to travel into the city to see, you know, if they can see a local comic and support a local cause and be with all their friends, it's win-win-win all the way around, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what is the Rachel Coalition? I'm not as familiar with that.
The Rachel Coalition is a foundation that helps women who have been battered and abused.
Oh, okay.
All right. So they've been a bad marriage and... Okay. Or maybe fathers or husbands,
okay.
and really, it's a way for them to be able to have a place to have a conversation,
okay.
Therapy, but also support.
Right.
And so they support the efforts to be able to help those who have been in those difficult situations.
Okay. Well, I just learned last night that New Jersey now has a Soup Sisters chapter. So it started in Canada, and I love to cook and I love soup. And so I picked up this book 5 years ago when I was in the cookbook when I was in Montreal. And now just last year, the Soup Sisters, there's only two in the U.S., one in California and one in Livingston. And so that might be a good Soup Sisters. Yeah, because they have, and it's like going to a cooking class, but you're cooking for all these. They do, they partner with one of the battered women's shelters and things like that. So shout out for Soup Sisters, and I'm going to sign up to cook some soup coming up. And yeah, and so I.
And what's your favorite soup?
Oh, that's a tough one. I make butternut squash soup. Oh, carrot ginger is a good one that I make. Yeah, I don't know. I do seasonal. I do, you know, cucumber.
I know you're supposed to be asking me the question.
No, no, that's okay. it's back and forth. We embrace that. So I think anybody who's got a favorite cause that you want, a charity, look up hahaforhumanity.org and see if you can.
.com.
Oh, it is .com. I'm sorry. Okay, I kept saying
if you just type in "haha for humanity," you'll be able to get there.
So are you an official 501c3 or
not,
no? Okay, so, but you support a ton.
I support them. So yeah, it's a
okay. Good distinction to know.
Yeah, it's not. I'm not. Well, the problem with being a nonprofit, and I might switch to a nonprofit as we grow larger, is there's a lot of paperwork involved with the nonprofits, and I don't make enough through what I do to be able to like justify all that paperwork.
Okay. Yeah.
But as I get larger and do bigger shows, certainly I am looking into to be able to move into that direction. But all the organizations I support are all nonprofit organizations.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I want to circle back a little bit because you said it was transformational for your youngest son to go. Because I think people – I grew up in a family of volunteers, and we were volunteering from day one. And I think it – and you're more open to that when you're a kid. You're naturally giving and open and caring. And not that people aren't, but when you're a kid, you're just – you know. So to open a kid's eyes like that is just tremendous and transformational. So I love what you're doing with the camps and the kids and your own kids, and then they'll tell their friends about it. So I think we're trying to build a society of givers and bring empathy back into the world. So
absolutely,
kudos to you for doing that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, what do you have any on the pipeline? I know I'm going to ask you. So you are not the only comedian at every show, right? You gather other folks.
I gather the comedians.
Yeah. So is there a comedian network that you're in? Or
how? Well, I'm a comedian.
I know that.
So that's the
that.
Network,
okay.
Right?
No, but is there an official comedian society or anything like that?
I know hundreds of comedians, and I actually find this because we were talking about a show that you just went to, right? So I know hundreds of comedians that do all different types of comedy. Okay. Right? Some are observational, some are raunchy, some are risque. There's a whole range of different types of comics that you can come across. It's important for me, who's producing a show, to know which comics I need to bring in for the show itself. Mm-hmm. And so I tap into my network. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, I could just do a comedy show myself. I could just contact a comic and have them go on stage. But if you don't know the type of comedy they are and you don't know what they're going to deliver, how do you know that they're going to be right for your audience? And so I'm on every show. Like, I host every show and I do every show. But I also produce it and I talk to the individuals who want to put together the show. I'm like, what type of comics would you like? Some don't care. Some are do whatever you want. Some want specific types. Like, last night I was told before I booked the show, we don't want any raunchy comics.
Fair enough, right?
Fair enough. I can easily find comics that can do cleanish humor, right? They don't have to talk about any raunchy subjects, and was able to find six comics that could do that and wanted to do it. And there are more than six comics out there, but every month I basically go through the roster of my comic friends and I'm like, which comics would I like to perform for the audience in the show? And that's pretty much how I put it together. And from a comic perspective, it's great to be able to not only book them on the show, but I also make sure they're coming out to Fairfield, New Jersey. Like, I have New York City comics.
Oh, they come from the city.
And they come in from the city. Nice. And that's another great thing. You get to see New York City comics in your suburban neighborhood 10 minutes down the street from you. I make sure to take care of the comics as well when they come here, because I find it to be very important. If I want a great comic to come to my show, I want to make sure that they're happy to be coming out there as well. So full audience, take care of the audience, take care of the comics, and we all have a great time.
Sounds wonderful. All right, we're going to take our last commercial break, and then we'll be back.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help. We're back with Robert Field, who is a comedian, and he is the founder of Ha Ha for Humanity. Ha Ha, the number 4, humanity.com. He's on Facebook, and we are streaming live on Facebook Live right now on the Happy to Help page on Facebook. So at Happy Hunterdon or Happy to Help if you want to see Robert and his smiling, funny face and listen to what we're talking about. Okay, I told you before, I've been involved with Room to Read, which is a global organization, and what if I say, hey, I want to do a comedy show for Room to Read, and I want you to organize it, you to book it, tell me how we would set that up, because I would love to do that.
So if you wanted to do it for Room to Read.
Room to Read.
Room to Read. The first thing I would ask you is, what type of comics would you be looking to see? Like, who... And when I say what type of comics, if you have no boundaries and you're not concerned with the comics themselves, then I would just find 5 or 6 really skilled comics to be able to produce the show. If you have particular requirements, which again could be you may want clean humor,
I would want a family event. I think
political humor. You could, you know, there's a whole realm you could want. Again, a lot of comics in New York City are quite liberal. Sometimes when they come out to certain areas in New Jersey, their liberal nature doesn't go over as well with some. So you need to know who your audience is.
Okay.
Once I know who your audience is, I would be able to put together a roster of comics. I usually limit it to 5 comics because time is really important.
That seems like a lot. 5 seems like a lot, or is it? I don't know. I'm just curious.
Well, it's 5 is not a lot. You kind of get a good feel. So the first
three comics will do 10 to 12 minutes.
Okay.
There's a feature that will do about 15, and then my headliner will do about 20 to 25.
Okay.
And it makes it into an hour and a half show,
okay,
which is really a good time to do a comedy show.
Okay.
And then all we have to do is promote. And the way that I promote it is I I do an Eventbrite page, and I do a Facebook page, and I have a really good friend of mine who puts together the promotional material and the marketing flyers. And then I just start marketing it to all the different groups. You'll market it to Room mm-hmm. to Read mm-hmm. and your friends. Mm-hmm. And that's how you build an audience.
Well, how do you do the venue? Who picks the venue? Is it the organization that says, we've got a venue and we want to hold it here? Or is that an additional service you offer for a fee? Or how does that work?
So I do monthly shows at Thatcher McGee's on the first Tuesday of every month. And here, we're going to fix that. There we go. I was just going to lean up onto the microphone. Cool. Okay. Hot mic. So that's another thing. When you're doing comedy, things just always go wrong. So you just have to work with it, I know. So I have a venue if you want to do it the first Tuesday a month. If you have a location, that's even better.
Okay.
Because my location only fits at most 80 people.
Is that the Thatcher McGee's? Or
that's
is it
Thatcher
okay?
McGee's.
All right. Well, hey, who doesn't
but
like an Irish pub?
There are other locations. So I've been talking to one of the education foundations. Think about the high schools, right? So you have an education foundation
oh, yeah.
as part of your group, and they raise money in all different fashions. Could be a 5K run,
yeah.
could be a Tricky Tray / Chinese auction, could
yeah.
be any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's how they raise money. Well, you can do the same thing with a comedy show. So
yeah.
let's say you have an education and foundation. They want to do a comedy show to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just go to the high school?
Yeah, we did. Actually, right? They did it for the class, the graduating class of 2019. They did a comedy show to raise money last year.
Yep.
And unfortunately, it wasn't well attended because I think people are just busy. That's the thing. I think when you said that you're yes or no, I don't know, but it's a lull right now as far as people with kids. Maybe you know this, like all the sports are ending, the school year's ending. So people have a lot of free time in the evenings now because they're not racing to practice and all that stuff. So, but I mean, that was one of my thoughts because it's always hard to get people to go to stuff because they're just so busy.
Yeah, but it also, it all really depends on yes, timing, but how you promote. We talked about me teaching kids how to do comedy. The winter classes are much full
or
have more kids than the spring classes because in spring classes, the kids are outside.
Yeah.
They're at the playground. They're at their games.
Yep.
You know, not to say that there aren't winter sports,
yeah. Yeah.
but if you're not playing a winter sport, you want an activity.
Correct.
Why don't you come and do comedy?
Nice.
So it really depends on the time. December is not a good time to do a big show. But mid-October could be, right?
Yeah,
so you
yeah.
really – and that's what I do as far as working with the organization. It's not just we want to do a comedy show. Let's throw it together and
oh, yeah.
do it there. It's what is the best day? You know, what is – you know, what other conflicts do you have? I was talking to one education foundation and we were going to do it and then we realized that there was a Tricky Tray. Oh, Tricky Trays. You know, other comedy shows aren't my biggest competition. Tricky Trays aren't.
Okay.
But there was a Tricky Tray the night before.
Mm.
And they said, listen, we don't want to do it on that day because everyone's going to be going to the Tricky
yeah.
Tray. What parents want to go out two nights in a row?
Yeah, it's hard.
So we didn't do it that day, and we're going to schedule it for the fall. The reason why we're doing it that way is because you do want to be able to know when you're going to maximize your effort.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the comedy show wasn't well attended, as you said, because of when they scheduled it, right?
Yeah, there's always so much going on. It just depends. Who knows? I should ask, as I know the teacher that organized it, and I should ask her about it. But the other thing I want to ask you, so when you invite these comics to come out and you say it's for charity, do they reduce their fee? I mean, I know they probably get asked.
I don't. Okay, so there
yeah.
are some comics I know that you will pay because – and I've paid a couple of comics. But at the end of the day, most of them know it's for charity. They want to perform in front of a great audience, and they're willing to donate their time.
They are, really? Yeah. I mean, because I'm sure they get asked 90 times a day, can you come be a comedian for my chair, right? I mean, don't you, I mean, I know that they're...
It depends on the comic. It depends on the comic.
Yeah, okay.
Really, and there are thousands of comics out there, and they all want to have stage time, and they all want to be able to do this. And the fact that I am a comic, I can then go up to them and say, I'm producing the show, would you like to do this for me?
So instant credibility, which is nice. Yeah.
Being a comic gives some instant credibility. And then the fact that to get them to come out, I do pick up their food and expenses. And that's very rare for some comics.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, so the comics you're thinking of, they get paid. They may want to get paid. That's not rare for them. Okay. But if you're a comic that's been doing this between the 3 and 8 year mark,
okay,
you know, you're not getting paid for a lot of the shows.
You want exposure.
You want exposure. Okay. And this gives you exposure. So they're willing to come out. And again, I take care of the comics a little bit just to, because I want, and I also make sure to have like the best of comics, like the best of comics that I like.
Yeah.
I was speaking to one of my comic friends last night, and it was a fantastic show last night. And he just looked at me and he goes, Robert, that's because you booked comics that fit your mold. And it's like, yes, I booked comics that fit my mold. They knew exactly what we were looking for. And it was a fantastic show. And we all were able to relate to one another. Mm-hmm. And it was just, again,
and the audience senses that, right? And they respond to it. And that is just brilliant.
It was fantastic.
I love it. Well, and I think, too, today in today's society, there was something I read that there was some pop-up store that they created in New York. And someone came in and started to criticize it. And they're like, well, then this is not for you.
Right.
So, you know, if everything's not for everybody. We're all different. So, you know, embrace what you love. And if it's not for you, move on and find what is, right?
Yeah. I had a very interesting experience. The show I did last month, we had one of my headliner of that show knew someone from The Daily Show.
Oh.
And he said, can you have, it was this guy, Luisa Mendinga. Right, and he said, do you have time for him? He's on The Daily Show. And I'm like, absolutely. Who's going to say no? I did ask if I could get Trevor Noah.
I know,
like,
right?
No, Trevor's not available. I'm like, okay,
I know,
fine.
Right?
And he came to the show. When I posted the fact that he was coming, there were some people on the sites that said, no, thank you. It's just not for me. Or negative comments. And I felt a need to respond. And my response to them were, I understand that all comedy is not for you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the future we'll have a comic that you'd be interested in seeing. And then they get into, oh, I don't like Comedy Today, or Comedy Today is not fun. And they started – because, again, it's like a very adversarial type thing in some worlds.
Yeah.
But you can't just say that that's comedy, right? It's not – there's other types.
Yes.
Ultimately, we had this conversation back and forth. He shows up at the show, and I'm going to tell you, it was fantastic. There was nothing – he might be on The Daily Show, but there was nothing political about what he was saying. He was a fantastic comic. He's willing to come out to Fairfield, New Jersey to do the show in Essex County. I'm like, seriously? It's – so I do get those responses that, you know, we don't like Comedy Today, or comedy's too political. And, you know, it's sort of like – different comedy for different people.
Absolutely. And I wish we had another hour, but the time goes fast
because
time flies when you're having fun, or it's funner. I love your t-shirt today.
Yeah.
Funner is gooder than just fun.
It's gooder than just fun.
Amen to that. All right. Well, again, so if you want to find Robert, haha, the number 4, humanity.com, hahafreehumanity@gmail.com, and let's have more laughter in the world.
Awesome.
Thanks for coming.
You got it. Thank you, Nicole.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Weeks after the big eruptions by Hawaii's Kilauea volcano, officials in Guatemala are dealing with a crisis there. Still searching for missing persons after a major eruption on Sunday. Here's more from USA Radio's John Clemens.
Hundreds are still missing from the deadly eruption that sent hot gas and smoke over 6 miles into the sky above the Central American volcano. I was able to speak to Geraldina Mata, who works for Operation Blessing in Guatemala City.
All these homes are under the ashes of the volcano. So it's very sad. A lot of these families have lost everything.
Many of the rescue workers fled just ahead of the fast-moving lava flows that reached 1,300 degrees Fahrenheit.
Angry at steel and aluminum tariffs, Mexico is now targeting billions of...
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Members or persons that were inside the residence. We do know that investigators are speaking with them at this time, so we can try to find out the details of what happened inside.
Authorities went to the 100 block of Spur Ranch Avenue last night for a domestic incident that escalated once police arrived. Two officers were shot during an exchange of gunfire with a suspect. Lieutenant Tim Bedwell with the North Las Vegas Police Department says the officers are expected to be okay.
When I went in with the officers as they arrived here, I can tell you that UMC staff was right there on the spot to accept them.
A federal judge.